is going on, guys, and welcome back to the Sports Session with Alec Ramirez. As always, I'm your host, Alec Ramirez. Go figure. But anyway, welcome back, folks. It was a definitely fun-filled week of football. Definitely some good games went on. However, real quick, can we talk about these damn Thursday night games? Now, look, I'm all for every team getting their fair share of TV time. It is what it is. Hey, everybody's got to get the bills paid, you know? But seriously, who in the hell is making the decisions for Thursday night games? Like, bro, you gave me Miami and Jacksonville? Really? And then you started off with the Bengals and Browns? Really? Come on. I don't know. Like I said, I get it. I love that everybody gets their fair share of TV time. But on Thursday night games, I feel like that's when the NFL should be producing the top-tier talent. Because there's nothing else to watch on Thursdays. Just like Mondays. You're producing top-tier talent. Hell, we got the Chiefs and the Ravens this past Monday. That was a good game. That's a highly anticipated game. Ain't nobody waking up on a Wednesday talking about, oh man, I can't wait till tomorrow. Bengals and Browns going at it. Get out of here. Get out of here with that. And I damn sure as hell know ain't nobody else besides the freaking residents of Florida. Nobody else was like, oh yeah, damn, Miami and Jacksonville, that's going to be a good game. Get out of here with that. Come on. But anyway, like I said, if we can get a couple better games going, I will be appreciative. I haven't looked at the full schedule myself yet. I'm definitely going to go check that out. I know the Bills and Seahawks have a game on a Thursday night. That's a super good game that's going to be happening. But other than that, we need to really get it together. Like, the NFL really needs to start looking at the teams that get the most views and go from there, to be honest with you. Or even the teams with the best records. Like I said, I feel like it should be top-tier talent on a Thursday, on a Monday. I feel like we should be getting no type of mediocre players. And I'm not calling the Browns and Bengals players mediocre because they did have a very good game, you know? I was very impressed with the way Baker Mayfield and Joe Burrow operated. Both defenses could definitely use some work. But, like I said, we need some better scheduling. Nonetheless, on Thursday, I felt one team had a very good game and the other team had a very not so good game. Now, the team that had a very good game was the Dolphins. Fitzpatrick brought out some Fitzmagic with 2 touchdowns in the air, and he also rushed for a touchdown. Super impressive. He finished with a QB rating of 12, and if anybody was watching the game, he completed his first 12 passes consecutively, and then he finished the game 18 for 20 for 160 yards. He had a QB rating of 133.3, and I felt like he had a very good game for Miami. He put them up. More importantly, I felt like what was really good for the Dolphins was they were able to establish their lead back going forward. They relied heavily on their second year back out of Washington, Miles Gaskins. And for the first couple of games, I know the drives or the carries, were split between Breida, Howard, and then Gaskin. But on Sunday, Miami gave Gaskin 22 carries, and they also threw him 5 attempts. So he had 100 scrimmage yards, which it doesn't seem like much, but for a team like Miami, that's a lot. It's a huge step in the right direction for them. I feel like if they can establish him as their lead back going forward and allowing him to have more carries and then just have Jordan and Breida really battle it out for that second man role, third man role. But yeah, that's definitely a good step in the right direction for Miami. Now on to Jacksonville, who had a very, very bad game. The first 2 games were pretty impressive from the team. Gardner Minshew was actually unable to find the end zone. Now, in his previous games, he already had 3 consecutive TDs back-to-back. So, he also accounted for 2 turnovers with an interception and a fumble. So, it definitely wasn't the best showing for Gardner Minshew. Now, what surprised me, to be honest with you, was they didn't really use that rookie too much, Laviska Shenault Jr. Now, if anybody's seen him, he's like a Cordell Patterson type. He can play wide receiver and running back. He was only seen on 1 carry, and he had like 5 or 6 targets. It was really like a handful. And I believe Jacksonville, if they want to be successful, I think this kid's the answer. I'm not saying he's going to go out there and put 30 points up on the board himself, but he's a workhorse. You can put him anywhere. He's not afraid to take as many touches as he needs. And this is somebody that you can rely on, especially on your offense that Your quarterback needs somebody to rely on. Conley's been there, I know, but I feel like this kid can really take him over the top. Moving on to the Pats and Raiders game. Now, for a team that I thought would rely on Cam Newton more this week, the Patriots honestly surprised me. They gave him a medium chunk of the offensive scheme against Vegas, and instead, it was Sonny Michel and Rex Burkhead who took over. Now, this is a team who has already relied on Cam so much that I have already gotten accustomed in two games to just have him run the ball a lot, but we actually utilized the running backs, and honestly, I couldn't have been happier. Michelle rushed for 117 yards. That was his career high. And Rex Burkhead also found the end zone three times while rushing for two TDs and a receiving touchdown. He compiled 98 yards himself, two away from both the running backs being at 100. That's what I really like to see, especially in New England. It's honestly been odd with the running back situation in recent years because we've had so many running backs that can just take check down passes and run upfield. But with James White being out again, prayers up to him and his family. Like I said, it's definitely nice to see both of the running backs getting to work and going to business. Now, Carr definitely had a very positive game, to say the least. This past weekend, he threw for 261 yards and two touchdowns. 84 of those yards and a touchdown going to his second-year receiver, Hunter Renfrow. However, he had two fumbles to go along with that, so that was definitely a huge problem. And Jacobs was also limited to 16 carries for 71 yards. Now, let's talk about something real quick. It's very simple for Las Vegas, in my opinion. Just run the damn ball. Jacobs is a workhorse running back who needs to be used as that. A workhorse. Feed him the ball if you want to win. Alright? Having games where you limit him under 20 carries, the Raiders' offense as a whole is going to struggle. All right? It's not going to work. He is an Ezekiel Elliott type back, in my opinion. That's my opinion. He can get fed as many carries as he needs to, 25 plus if you want to be successful. Secondly, if there's one other man that needs to run on the Las Vegas offense, it's Derek Carr. I have watched so many Raider games and had said tuck the ball and run. What are you scared of? Now I get it. You had a career threatening injury, but that doesn't change the fact that you came back 100% healthy. You have a team, you have a fan base, you have ownerships, coaches relying on you to go out there and make plays. We're talking about a guy that used to take at least 30 plus carries a season in 2015 and 2016. That was when the Raiders were making noise. I get it. Patrick Mahomes is in your division. I get it. You have other good quarterbacks coming up. Derek Carr, you need to go back, find yourself, and find that elite version of you because that's the version that Vegas needs. I know Derek Carr can throw, and I know he has all these weapons that he can throw too. But when they're getting locked up, you need to stop being afraid of contact. Tuck the ball and go make a better opportunity for your offense. Gain a couple yards. Gain a first down, maybe. Come on, Derek. You have a fan base and a freaking team relying on you. Philly also had their fair share of problems this past week. The injury bug has officially hit the Philadelphia Eagles. Last week, it was the 49ers. Very tough. This week, it is Philly. And they actually play each other this week. Funny story. Alshon Jeffrey already out. Philadelphia was looking to DeSean Jackson to channel well his inner DeSean Jackson. However, that was cut short with a hamstring injury, pulling him from the game and really leaving Philadelphia with limited options. Defensively, Fletcher Cox was still out, abdominal pains, and quarterback Avante Maddox is still nursing an ankle injury. Trevor Williams is also favoring a rib injury, while safety Rudy Ford is out with a groin injury. Now that's just defensively. Offensively, aside from DeSean Jackson going down, the O-line is still crying out for help. They still have three tackles injured, Lane Johnson, Jason Peters, and Jack Driscoll, along with the line being lackluster. Miles Sanders is still dealing with a glute injury and has been limited at practice. while second-year wide receiver J.J. Arcega-Whiteside is also dealing with calf problems. So I definitely think Philadelphia is in panic mode, missing that many offensive weapons, with their only hope being Carson Wentz and a mediocre offensive line. So prayers out to Philly, man. Hopefully they can get something going soon. Going down to the desert in Arizona, Mr. DeAndre Hopkins definitely looks to be back to reclaim his throne as the number one wide receiver, especially with Michael Thomas being out. I think he's doing just that. I said it back in August, it was only a matter of time before Arizona puts the league on notice. Check. Said it a matter of time that DeAndre Hopkins was going to be a spectacular player and possibly be the number one wide receiver again. Check. However, I didn't account for Michael Thomas being injured. But nonetheless, I do think Nuke has that top spot. He has 356 yards. He leads the league right now. And I feel like he's going back to that elite form. I feel like if he can find the end zone just a bit more and possibly finish the season with maybe 10-plus touchdowns, he can definitely be in the talks for Offensive Player of the Year. And no, I am not exaggerating. That is how good this man can be. Arizona is going to look to bounce back from that loss to Detroit. However, that win wasn't as easy for Detroit as people are thinking. Arizona and Detroit went back and forth the entire game. And Stafford had a decent start. He threw for 270 and two TDs. He featured 9 different receivers and also helped Kenny Golladay make his debut for the NFL season. And with Golladay being back in the mix and his quarterback being 100%, the Lions could definitely be a lot more successful than last season. But that doesn't mean that there's issues. I personally feel one of the biggest problems for Detroit is their head coach. Now, I feel really bad to say this because I really like Matt Patricia. He was a good defensive coach when he was with the Patriots. Spectacular defensive coach, actually. But I do think he bit off more than he can chew becoming the Detroit Lions head coach. Now, since his arrival in 2018, the Lions have compiled 10 wins, 24 losses, and a tie. And I really feel like if this isn't the make-or-break season for Patricia, the Lions are definitely in trouble. I feel like he's definitely in the hot seat. I feel like if they take a couple more losses, we are going to be looking at an early release. I hate to say that because, like I said, I really like Mike Patricia. He's a good guy. But he's just not a good head coach. It's just, it is what it is at the end of the day. Checking in with the Fab Four, Judy had another quiet game. He had 55 yards on 5 catches. And I desperately need Denver to get Judy involved. Not even for their own good, but for his own good. Judy's a superstar. He needs to be able to make superstar plays. But he can't do that if they're not getting him involved as much as he needs to be. Lamb had a quiet game coming off his 106 breakout game. He compiled 65 yards on 5 catches. And Lamb's a superstar where he can be a wide receiver too. He doesn't have to be the wide receiver one. I understand Amari Cooper's there. But you need to make this man the wide receiver too. You need to get this man more touches. I understand Michael Gallup is a really good wide receiver. However, this is CeeDee Lamb. CeeDee freaking Lamb. Like, yeah. He's that good. It's honestly up to Dak Prescott if he's ready to make Lamb that playmaker. But I think if the Cowboys want to be more successful, you will give the ball more to CeeDee Lamb. Jefferson had the best game out of the Fab Four this past week, and he had 175 yards on 7 catches to go along with his first NFL touchdown. Congratulations. And Adam Thielen was really in Jefferson's shadow this game. I know that's kind of crazy to hear. But I feel like if Kirk Cousins can get both of his wide receivers involved, both of them can honestly have 100-yard games any Sunday. Just the same way that Tampa was doing it with Godwin and Evans, I feel like the Vikings can do the same. But it's going to be on Kirk Cousins to make those plays. And if he can, Minnesota's going to be lethal. I'm just going to say that. Dalvin Cook's already a beast of his own. And if they can get the pass game going, whoo. Now that leaves Henry Ruggs, who was out this past Sunday. He's dealing with knee and hamstring problems, which honestly isn't good for Vegas. They still have Edwards, who's a really good wide receiver, but they do have the Bills coming up, and Tre'Davious White and Micah Hyde are an absolute menace in the backfield like that. Ooh! Anyway, it also isn't a good sign that Ruggs missed practice on Wednesday. He had hamstring injuries, so that he's definitely headed in the wrong direction. It's not good to see, but I hope he can nurse those injuries fast and get back on the field for Vegas. And that finally brings me to the Monday night game. Patrick Mahomes looked like he was in a damn video game. This man can do anything. It's amazing how talented he is. It's crazy to see what him and the rest of the weapons can put together. He had 385 yards with 4 touchdowns, and he had everybody working. Watkins, Hill, Hardman, Kels, all in a frenzy on Monday, all ready to go to work. And he also had his fullback, Anthony Sherman, in the mix, as well as Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Now, Anthony Sherman had a touchdown, and Mahomes also found his left tackle for a touchdown, Eric Fisher, on a 2-yard touchdown pass that really was kind of the just dagger in the heart for that game. Defensively, the Chiefs were all over Lamar Jackson. They had him under 100 throwing yards, and he also had only 83 rushing yards. They also caused them to fumble, which, honestly, the game was really bad for Lamar, and I hate to say this because I'm a huge Lamar Jackson fan, but he was honestly looking like a mid-grade Mark Sanchez, and I honestly, at some point, just had to look away because it just started getting ugly. And with that being said, that is all I have for you folks this week. I will see you at next week's sesh. Peace.